What's so great about? What's so great about?
To What's So Great About, the podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Now, Andy.
Yeah?
Not since the days that the critic Jay Sherman stumbled across 742 Evergreen Terrace has there been a crossover as crummy as this
Hello.
One. Because our guests this week are from the MK Ultra podcast. It's Killian and Mark.
Hello.
You guys are very welcome.
Excellent. Very good.
10 out of 10 there.
Yeah. We can end the pod
now. I think so. Yeah.
This is actually
showmanship.
This is the first time that we've had four people on, I mean, including us. This is the first time ever in our podcast history that we've had more than one guest on at the same time.
We need some sort of digital conch shell to pass around so that we don't talk over.
I think it's going to be a train wreck, let's be honest.
That's nice. Good to be a part of it. First foursome.
Oh, thank you very much.
My first foursome too, actually.
Oh, yeah. All right, keep a family friendly.
No, never.
Well, listen, so your guys' podcast is also a movie review podcast where you essentially... You're not recording at the same time. You're like sending each other reviews. Is that it? And then you put it together?
Well, ours is a bit more narcissistic in that it doesn't really have any, like, the main hook or plot. This is just, it's just us talking to each other. Yeah. Whereas yours at least has some kind of concept.
Ethos.
Yeah. No, our podcast, it actually originated with me and Killian used to talk a lot about movies. And then we were living abroad, or I was living in Germany. Killian was living in New York. Nice. And then we kind of separated our WhatsApp chat into two separate chats, one that was movie centric and one that was just like regular friendship centric, because the movie content was clogging up.
It was getting in the way of the friendship.
No, it was.
We've been like that, Andy, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And then the movie stuff was majority voice notes.
Yeah, I think it was just like we got into the weird habit of whenever we watched a movie, we would send a voice note to each other. And then it just felt very natural to kind of go, well, let's do a podcast where we meet up once every 2 weeks. We're not that regular.
In theory.
And then got talk about the movies that we watched and then play the voice clip and see if our opinions have changed. Because you do it, you know, when you watch a movie and you have opinions about it, but then it sits with you for like a few days. And sometimes you kind of change your opinion. Yeah. So you have different, you hate it more, you hate it less, you like it more.
Yeah,
That was in theory the idea, but it did quickly become kind of just two guys chatting, have a great time.
Yeah.
You have these amazing conversations. The world should hear them. You know?
That's all is needed these days, guys.
Yeah.
I have a question, because I've been asking this question to our guests whenever they've come on this season. Because we're kind of back in full swing with the arts and all that, and especially for you guys, considering yours is a current movie review show, what is your favorite film you've seen in the cinema this year?
Ooh. Jesus.
Do you have one?
I can't believe how many people, like, everybody seems really stumped when I ask them this question.
Just to preface it, Terry goes to the cinema about 5 times a week, and so when other people don't.
But there's just been a lot of good stuff. It's hard to not, I mean, I don't want to say, I think it's Top Gun.
I think it's Top Gun, amazing.
Amazing.
I was going to say Batman. I really enjoyed Batman, but I think I'd be lying to myself. It's Top Gun Maverick.
It's Batman. Batman.
Ooh. Batman was good.
It was like I was punching the sky going, yay, I love this. You
fucking did it.
I went to see that in Miami as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
disappointing. That's really cool.
Yeah, Mad God. Did anyone hear about that?
Haven't seen it yet. It's by the guy, the ILM guy, isn't it?
I went to see that, and that was pretty good. But no, it's going to have to be Batman, I think. Yeah. I love Batman so much. I thought that was just I was like, this is like how comic book films like could have been, you know. But
is it the best Batman in like the last few?
I find the Nolan ones.
He doesn't like them.
I think they're a bit cringe.
Hardest to think.
Yeah, no, I'm like, sitting upright. I rewatched the first one recently, and I was like, this is a bit cringe. I don't know.
I can see that. Just... No, I can see that. I can.
It's definitely... a bit masculine. You know what I mean?
It's very masculine. Like...
Yeah. But you know, considering they were trying to do a complete, you know, 180 from Joel Schumacher and his, you know, bat nipples and everything is day glow and, you know, camp.
Yeah. How can you do your voice, Christopher?
Deeper.
Well, if you
lower.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the first one and then the second one quite close together, you're like, what the fuck? Because his voice isn't so bad in the first one, but the second movie, you're like, alright, like, give it.
I get it. You're a man.
Ledger. I get it. Like,
and what about you? What are your picks?
I've been to see, I'd say I've only been like 7 or 8 times
this month.
Like, once a month, like, probably this year. Like, but I went to see Jackass, which in the cinema, which was fucking amazing. Like, just like, it was a half full screen. It was a half full screen, and like, it was as if we were just in somebody's massive house, because everybody was like, oh no, don't do that, like, oh. Like, and it was just this, like, I've been missing this communal experience, I've been craving it. But like, I went to see The Northman on the big screen, and that was fucking dead, because it was like practical filmmaking, like, you know, it was these massive visuals, and just like visceral, like, yeah, fucking kill him, you know, chop him up with an axe. But like you say, the ones that are, like Top Gun and Everything Everywhere All at Once, I think is like, that's
that was great.
That's gone into my top 5. I know, Mark, listening to the episode, you weren't crazy on it.
I did.
That, like, the next day I was like, my life has changed forever, like, you know. mundanity of, you know, a week later I'm back in the office and I'm like, whatever. But the next day I was like, wow,
I'm
like,
a changed man.
The sky is bluer, the grass is greener. Like, why don't we just all love everybody all the time? Like,
Joy Westwood. Just like, I went vegan.
And then Top Gun, like, the ones that have hit me have been the most kind of visceral, you know, like, stuff. Like, I've seen the two Marvel movies this year, and I was just like, it's like such artifice. Although, like, I did kind of like the Sam Raimi-ness of Multiverse of Madness, but like, I saw that fucking recent Thor one, I was like, going from watching Top Gun, which is like people in a fucking jet, like Tom Cruise being slammed around left to right, and then seeing fucking Chris Hemsworth, who I do like, but like behind a blue screen, and just everything seems so fucking fake. You're like,
there's
no wonder that Top Gun is still in the cinema, still fucking like earning money, because people want to go see that fucking experience.
What about you, Andy? What were your picks?
Sonic 2. That's all I've seen. And it was fucking class. I'll tell you that, lads. It was the only one that I'd seen, and I remember
I watched it when I was
skewed. Did you? I was skewed because like my daughter loved it, and I love when we come out of a movie and she's like, "Well, that was great," and I'm like, "Yes, you know what? Yes, it was," and I forget everything I thought beforehand. But I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was just nice to be sitting down eating popcorn. And that sounds terrible. That sounds like I've sucked all the fun out of it.
It's just
nice to sit down for a few minutes, lads. You know yourself.
That's what we said before. Like, Irish people in general, just like, you were complaining that the Irish Times reviews are bad to read, because Irish people just inherently like going to the cinema, so they'll never say it's an outright bad experience. They're just like, it was nice.
Well, I mean, got out of the cold for a while.
Yeah,
everyone made a really big effort to make it.
It's nice. Yeah. It's nice to get out.
Well, I find as I've gotten older, my I used to love like tearing a movie to pieces, and now as I've gotten older, I'm like, No, I want to. Like, I'll go mining,
Terry,
for gold.
You will find. You will mine through a pile of shite, and you'll come out with like, no, but I like the way they did that. Like, come on, it was shit. Like, no, but the way the side character there, you know, yeah, that scene, you know, like that, just admit it.
You are like that. I'm a little like that.
I love movies, and I like to like them. You know,
see, that's the thing. I don't like movies, and I'm looking for like I'm straight away whenever we're watching a movie for this podcast, I'm there, arms folded, like literally, like second one, like this, just like, so I'm just fucking get this over with, and so it has to win me from a negative point of view.
Already lose them,
yeah, you know. But speaking of movies, Terry,
yes,
should we get into this one?
Yes, let's get into our review of Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Get me out of here.
You want me to get wet on account of you? Hey, man, I got on Swiss cotton underpants.
I'm gonna drown, sir.
Come on, we'll get the time of death from on top.
Please.
Come on, man. It ain't worth it. You are crazy. Come
on. You okay?
The good news, Terrence, is I'll okay you to return to full duty. The bad news is that you'll be experiencing moderate to severe back pain.
Recognition of his leadership and tenacity, Lieutenant Terrence McDonough.
This is who we're looking for. Name is Donald Godshaw.
You up to this?
Why wouldn't I be?
Still have problems with your back? You taking medication for it?
Only what the doctor prescribes.
You got any illegal substances on you?
Who are you?
I'm Dave, the guy you robbed. To make it right, you gotta come up with $50,000. Don't make me look for you, Terrence.
You mind stepping outside? I'd like to talk to you. I'm gonna give you a chance to make some money the old-fashioned way. With a cop protecting you.
You a crazy mother.
I took you to a place.
It's amazing how much you can get done when you've got a simple purpose guiding you through life.
On my own.
Stand against the wall.
Chin empty your pockets, dump out the handbag.
You want a hit?
Yes. Where the
sun always shines. What are these iguanas doing on my coffee table?
They ain't no iguana.
Yeah,
there are. Ain't no iguana.
Where's the 15,000? Put that gun away. Kill all of you.
To the break of dawn, baby.
You know the people are friendly there.
Do you think these guys care you're a cop?
Shoot him again.
What for?
His soul's still dancing.
Back at home.
That was the trailer for Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, written by William M. Finkelstein.
Fake name.
It's a real name. And directed by Werner Herzog.
Oh. The Bear Mauler guy?
Grizzly Man, of
whatever.
Grizzly Man fame.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what you probably know from. Yeah. Like,
okay.
We do this thing, guys, on the podcast. It's called our BOF, which is we take a guess at the budget and box office, and then we go through some fun facts. So
we were getting all of these wrong last time.
Yeah.
I yes.
I think I got them all wrong.
You did, yeah, 100%.
Oh, we remember. It was embarrassing.
It was the Hall of Fame board. Most skewed guess of all time. No. We're all
Killian propping up the leaderboard there, number 10. Andy, we'll throw it to you first, because this is actually a rule we came up with when you were on, Killian, that we felt we were asking the guest first. And it was giving Andy an unfair advantage. So
we're going to
give you guys.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Try to guess the budget?
The budget for this one, $35 million.
Okay.
I was just like, in my head, I was going to say like, two. No, change your mind immediately. You go, well, I've played before, so I'll go. I'm going to go... 15 million.
I'm gonna go 12.
Oh, nice.
It's split between, I guess I'll give it to Killian because he didn't go over. It's 25 million.
Okay, cool, fine, Matt checks out of this, all right, okay, I have to just say I have no concept
yeah.
And it shows.
Yeah. That's why we love it.
Nobody does.
No one does.
My head was 2, and then you said 35. I was like, ooh.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. This one,
so, like Nick Cage's wages were probably.
So I was thinking.
We're probably like, probably around like
that's a sick one there.
Even Mendez was in this. She's probably getting like
high wages. Val Kilmer was in it for a bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry,
he's not getting. He's getting scared. He should be happy. He's there. Yeah. He's getting 60,000. This is not like bringing him back for Top Gun. This is him scrounging around.
Yeah. Scrounging around Hollywood for bits, for parts.
So it opened in 27 theaters only, which is not a large amount. Okay.
Never going to get this now.
Okay. It actually didn't have a wide release at all. Mm. So just bear that in mind, guys. So care to take a stab at the opening weekend and your face.
I hate this. I hate when it's a limited release. Why don't they just release it everywhere?
The bloody Wes Anderson things. Like, yeah. We're talking thousands.
I'm going to say $35,000.
Okay.
I don't know.
Killian?
It's just like it could have been bad weather that day. Do you know what time of the year it was? I'm going to go...
It's six figures. How about that?
Hey, okay, what the fuck?
There are guests.
All right, let's say how many theaters is that?
27.
27 theaters. Each one was 3/4 full.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just going to go 125,000.
Okay.
How many seats are in a film, too?
200?
This is a math problem from the Leaving Cert.
2,000?
I'm going to say 2,000 times 27 times... Hold on,
I don't think it's really 2,000 as well.
It's not per screen. 2,000 per screen.
That's a bank. That's a card reader.
I'm gonna say 175,000.
175?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, you're closest. It's 245,398.
How much
did you say, Andy, again?
I said 35.
You said 35,000. It is 245,398.
398. They're even giving us down to the dollar. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Domestic total, Andy.
Still not a wide release, just still the 27. No,
never went right. Never went right. I think the highest it went to was like 75.
And what was the domestic you said there?
The opening.
Or whatever, yeah. Yeah.
245.
745. Okay. Total domestic.
Okay. Total domestic.
Total Gillian? Domestic.
And they spent 35 million on it.
I know.
They spent 25 million. Domestic. I will tell you, it does not make its budget back.
Oh.
Nice. I'm gonna guess this is just domestic in the US.
Just US total.
4 million.
Mm. Okay.
Ooh.
I'm going to go, so it was 35 million. It went to what? How many theaters?
75.
I think 75 in at its widest release.
I'm going to go for 12 and a half million.
Oh.
Killian is, Andy is closest. Excuse me. 1.7 million domestic total.
Playing control back.
Yeah, not a lot. Well, now, I will tell you, it made more worldwide, and that's probably due to the pull of Werner Herzog then.
Europe is going to buy into that Herzog dollar.
Yeah. But it still did not make its budget back. Just remember that. I'm giving you way too many hints.
Giving us more hints than you've ever given us, to be honest. 25 million was the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say the worldwide total was $14 million.
Okay.
Worldwide is including the gross domestic.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So I will guess 9 million.
Okay.
I'm going to just say what I said for the last one, which I think 12? Was
12 and a half. It is 10.5 million. Look at that. Clenching his fist. He's clear.
Wait, what did you say?
No, you didn't win.
Well, did I?
He said 9.
Okay.
He said like... What did you say? 14?
Yeah, I said 14.
You were the furthest away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wild.
What a fun game.
Prepare for some fun facts, guys. Please. Nicolas Cage claims he was never under the influence of anything throughout filming, in contrast to Leaving Las Vegas, for which he won his Oscar, in which he got genuinely drunk to play an alcoholic.
They were quite similar films. Have you seen both of those films?
Yes, I haven't seen Leaving Las Vegas in a long time. We didn't select it for this because I knew Andy wouldn't care for it, and I didn't want to depress him any more than life normally.
See, he really protects.
It's a dark film. Yeah,
he's great in it, like, and he was deserving of his win. But it's not fun. It's not a fun watch.
No,
many times throughout this film, Mark went, he's got an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I get that a lot when I'm watching Nick Cage. But
yeah,
like, Batman has an Oscar.
Yeah, I was surprised, and I keep getting reminded. I'm like, oh yeah, and that's why I'm always like, why aren't we doing the one that he won the Oscar for? but it makes sense.
Like, I feel like this and Leaving Las Vegas were both movies where I was like he. I feel like even the fact that he won the Oscar, I still find kind of weird because just the performance is so weird.
Mm.
But like, he just goes so hard. Like, the vibe on set must have been so bad and weird. Yeah. It's like, this guy's fucked. Yeah. Like,
nobody talks to him.
The Academy also can't figure out whether he's a good or bad actor.
Yeah.
It's like, the whole world is perplexed. We're like, he's kind of class, or is he really shit? I don't know. I kind of enjoy that.
That's the ultimate question, like.
Yeah,
he's good, lad. He's good. Terry's sitting there stewing. Like, yeah. He's fucking brilliant.
I'm gonna save it till we get into the meat of it.
Okay. What else you got?
It was originally set in New York, but Nicolas Cage insisted that they change the setting to New Orleans to help them after Hurricane Katrina.
Okay,
like to give them, you know, business, I guess.
Yeah. Okay,
And it's, good guy. I thought it was great that, you know, you could tell it was shot on location
in the
One thing we did say was, though, it portrays New Orleans in an incredibly negative light.
Yeah,
it makes the entire place look like a total shithole.
Yeah.
It kind of is, though. Like, I've read a lot of books that are set in New Orleans, and they talk about how, like, in, you know, Bourbon Street and all, it's like, grand. Because it's very tourist, but outside of that, it's just like rampant with crime. And I don't know if you guys ever saw that show Tremé.
Mm-mm.
It's by the guys who did The Wire, but it's set post Katrina there, and it's like pretty similar to this in that, like, it's kind of shows you, like, it's just kind of the Wild West at times. Yeah. Like,
I was there, and like, there's definitely a big kind of, I don't know how to describe, like, a kind of hipstery. A lot of young people have moved there. Mm. There's like a Berlin, you know, like Berlin is, or like Lisbon or Valencia, you know, like a lot of young artsy kind of types are there.
Yeah.
And they have that vibe, a very strong vibe of that. But it's like seedy. Most American cities on the east, like filthy. It's filthy. Just dirt. It's dirty.
But like, it's like, been,
it needs to be cleaned.
It's been through so much, like if you think of that, like Katrina, and like it's just constantly getting hit by tropical storms.
Yeah,
that, like, there's a really good documentary about Katrina that Spike Lee did, and we watched it here, myself and my wife, and I was like, what, like, fucking hell, the poor people that live there. That's it's this kind of thing. This cycle is constantly happening, and there's no, like, infrastructure or protection for it there. But yet it has such a, like, I personally think that's like a vibrant soul or something. Like, I've always wanted to go there. Even though, like, you're saying,
I got there and there was a load of, like, the first night I was there, I was at the bottom of, I don't know, Bourbon Street or whatever those places are called, and there was like a thunderstorm happening, and then there was a load of teenagers, like cool dressed teenagers, and they all have brass instruments, and there was a thunderstorm happening, and they were playing like brass jazz. It was fucking amazing.
Brilliant.
Going on, people walking around locked, like, very. It was the only place that reminded me of, like, Dublin the way it is at night. You know, there's just people fucking everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It was very like that in New Orleans. I didn't see that anywhere else.
You can drink in public there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot. Jeez, you can't even do that there.
Yeah,
I'm only gonna go one more fact, because there's a lot of like, ones that is like, the Dancing Soul is an homage to Herzog's other blah blah blah. Yeah. So I generally don't like reading this, but I found this quote that I found very entertaining. I don't know if you guys realize or had seen the 1992 movie Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah,
But Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So Abel Ferreira, who directed it and co-wrote the original, said that finding out his movie was being remade was a horrible feeling, like when you get robbed. Those involved in this remake should all die in hell. He also wondered how Nicolas Cage can have the nerve to play Harvey Keitel and called screenwriter William M. Finkelstein an idiot. Herzog responded that he'd never seen the original and never even heard of Ferrara.
What? It's called Bad Lieutenant. Like if he's never seen it, why is he calling it Bad Lieutenant? And it's not like a sequel or a remake. It's just like, it's just another movie like called Bad Lieutenant about a crooked cop.
And the plot is different.
The plot is different.
The original. Okay. Like, it's not like the...
Have you seen the original?
Yeah, I actually wanted to try and fit in a rewatch of it because it is bonkers. Keitel, Abel Ferreira is a kind of filmmaker that has never really clicked for me. I've never been able to stomach a lot of his stuff. It doesn't really... I've seen this film like 3 or 4 times, and I've seen the original one once, and I've never been rushed back to see the 92 version.
Is this an actual remake? Do people say it's a remake, or is it just a different film?
I think it's just a different film with the same name. It's a funny one because it has no connection in terms of production or anything like that, mm-hmm. or actors or anything like that. I don't know if you'd call it like a spiritual sequel. I don't know.
I feel like a pretty standard, like if you're making a sequel or something, or like the person who's making it should have seen the previous one.
Exactly.
It's like saying he hasn't seen it. There's no way it could possibly be. Like, did some lad kind of just, like, he met a guy at a bar and he described the movie to him. Yeah. He's like, oh, that's good. I'm going to make a sequel. That
sounds great.
He has to have seen it.
Like, you know, just call it like Crooked Cop, Port of Call, New Orleans. Like, why does it have to be Bad Lieutenant as well? It doesn't make sense.
Like, if you look at, I'm just looking at like Herzog's filmography here. Like, at this point in his career, he kind of stopped making movies. You know, he's doing a lot of documentaries. Mm-hmm. Like, he'd done Grizzly Man in 2005. He'd done Rescue Dawn 2006. Yeah. But then, 2007 is a documentary. This, then the next 4 or 5 after this are documentaries. He doesn't really do feature films anymore. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, back in the 70s. And I just...
What's his big movie? What's his big one?
Probably Fitz...
It's cool. He was known for doing a lot of, like, he came out of a German thing, basically the French New Wave, all those guys. He kind of came out of that, him, Wim Wenders, and a guy called Rainer Werner Fassbinder. They were filmmakers, and they made a load of movies about contemporary Germany, which was it was a really big deal in Germany, and they became really well known in Europe. And most of them stayed in Europe and did the European art house circuit, but then Herzog went to America and started making kind of American movies and kind of went weird.
I would say
I've had a strange career.
Yeah, it's a really odd, if you look at, I don't know, I couldn't find anywhere how this ended up in his hands or how it ended up on his doorstep.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy, he's such an interesting character, but like when he's made Fitzcarraldo with Klaus Kinski, the making of that is they talk about being one of the worst sets to ever be on. They drag the boat up a mountain, collapsing, and everybody is going insane. It kind of real Apocalypse Now levels.
There's some great clips on YouTube of Klaus Kinski, the famous German actor, and Herzog. They were very, very close, good friends, but also hated each other, had this very fiery relationship. And there's some really good clips. Herzog is a good YouTube binge. Just Werner Herzog. There's a really good one of him describing how he hated Klaus Kinski so much at one point that he had fantasized how he was going to kill him. Mm. And he actually was I'm gonna fucking do it. And there's the famous line is that by the end of it, Klaus Kinski was
had a gun, right?
behind the camera, Herzog had a gun, and he was like, "Fuck, I made the movie," and he had a loaded gun, was making him act.
But Werner Herzog, we were talking just after the film ended. There's a video on YouTube of Mark Kermode interviewing Werner Herzog, in for LA. This? Someone on the street shoots him.
Oh yeah,
just doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
what?
Kind of like brushes it off like that.
Like it's not with a proper gun.
It's an air rifle or something.
Okay.
It's an air rifle, but it goes through his jeans and like into his leg, and he's bleeding. And he's just like, "Yeah, it's okay, it's okay."
And they're like, "We call the police," and he's like, "No, no, police make things so difficult. Let's just, I'll go home and they just patch him up a bit."
Imagine having that mentality of just being like, "No, it's fine, it's fine."
what I love about him now in his later years is like he's crossed over into being like creepy character actor.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He was like
he was in the Mandalorian.
I want to see the baby.
It was Mandalorian. I want to see the baby.
Show me the baby.
Yeah.
And like he's in like he's the bad guy in that like Tom Cruise movie Jack Reacher, and I'm like he's fucking brilliant as the bad guy. Yeah. Like
hey, I have a bit of trivia for you, Terry, on this one.
Hit me.
Yeah.
According to Herzog, right now, this is no offense. This is better than all those fun facts, okay?
Okay.
2000.
Offense taken. I didn't read this one. I didn't read this.
No, these are the ones you should be reading, Terry. All right. This is the interesting stuff. Okay.
I guess.
2,400 cans of decaf coffee had to be used to make the water appear to be river water in the jail scene at the start. They first attempted to use paint, but it proved to be toxic. Then the production team used regular coffee, but the actor absorbed it through his skin. So they went with decaf.
So he was like fucking, like he was like jacked off the coffee.
Yeah.
That poor chap in the jail cell.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Offense taken.
All right. So just gonna
just a matter of taste, guys.
would it be a wild call for them to have used just actual muck? It's free.
Muck don't look like muck on stage. on camera.
All right, very good.
Tape a bunch of cats together. So, guys, we gave you the choice of a few options. Why did you choose this one?
Well, I don't think we really had a reason. I'd say maybe it was the one that I hadn't seen, so I was kind of like interested in seeing that. I didn't know it was directed by Herzog, but I don't know. I'll be honest, the name sounds good. The name has a real nice ring to it. That might be why Herzog fucking stole it. But like we saw the list, and I was like, I've seen a few of those, and then I was like, Bad Lieutenant. That's kind of tickling my fancy.
Remind me now, were they all Nick Cage films?
We're doing Nick Cage. So.
I recall the logic being that I like Nick Cage films. I like Nick Cage films, full stop. But I especially like watching new ones that aren't clearly supposed to be silly, funny Nick Cage things.
Yeah,
I like picking Nick Cage films that are potentially going to be good, but then he kind of fucks them up because he's so nuts.
Okay,
save it, Terry. See, this is the whole concept of this is like Terry picks these seasons, so he's got a mad hard on for Nick Cage at the minute. So that's why this is why
he's having a moment. When we started this season. He had just released Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. He was around the time where, he was lauded for Pig. They thought he might sneak in an Oscar nom for Pig. And he was just back everywhere. And I was like, yeah, of course. You got like 5 decades of movies to choose from. Genres all over the place. Like, so
yeah,
why not? Like,
so it's been up and down. Yeah. It's been up and down so far. We've done Face Off.
More ups than down.
Face Off, we've done The Rock, Raising Arizona.
What's your favourite one so far, Andy?
Face Off. Face Off.
Face Off was it.
Yeah. Face Off. Adaptation. Because
Adaptation is mine.
That's John Woo, isn't it?
That's Rory, my roommate's favourite film.
You know what? And I thought going into it, I was like, I feel like I remember... like that being like good, but it's kind of boring, or I don't know what I thought, but when I was so pleasantly surprised when we watched it again, I'm like, this movie's fucking nuts. Like, it's so crazy, but like so good. Travolta's so good. Travolta's out of 10, Cage is out of 10, and they're just both like acting the shit out of the place. It was just crazy. Like, it's so good. Like,
when we were still doing the Simpsons podcast, we were doing like we started doing this on the Patreon only. So it was like Andy had never seen any of the Marvel movies. So we were doing like, what's so great about the MCU? Then Andy picked what's so great about 90s action movies. So I was like, we're definitely going to be doing Face Off because, you know, it's one of the top 90s. Andy didn't pick Face Off. He picked Broken Arrow instead. The other John Woo.
It isn't shite, but it's not nearly as good.
So I was waiting for it. He picked Broken Arrow. He picked Con Air, which I love. No complaints. Yeah, no complaints. But
True Lies.
True Lies, fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Great, but
Bad Boys and fucking what else? Yeah, there's a few other ones like
true,
that.
True,
Bad
true.
Boys 90s.
Yeah, yeah, it's 95. Bang in the mid 90s.
Early 2000s.
The Bad second Boys. One is 2001, I think. Bad Boys 2. Yeah, and then the third one is 2021, maybe.
The less said about that, the better.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're doing a fourth. I think. We're waiting for the Will Smith slapgate to die down.
We're all so ready to forgive him. I think he needs to get over it. Like, I think the whole world, like, is like.
Why is he talking about it again?
Yeah, he did a thing. He put up an Instagram post about it where he talked about it. But you know what? Like, we did a whole series on Will Smith's bad movies as well on Patreon because I'm such a big Will Smith fan. And we were like, how are his movies actually in the last 10 years? Turns out not great.
Not good.
And I was such a big fan. I had his albums, like, big Will Smith fan. Me and Tony, both huge Will Smith fan. Yeah. And as soon as the slap happened, I was just like, I'm totally done with him forever. And I don't know what, like, because his whole image is shattered. I was like, he's not the guy.
He was always a farce.
He had a crazy, he's like The Rock.
There's nothing behind there. There's this good guy act. They're too, like, algorithmic. You know what I mean? Like, they have to say these things to get the four quadrants. You know?
I did always notice Will Smith when he was on, like, Graham Norton or on these talk shows. Like, he never laughs with his eyes. It was always real. Like, people would be telling a joke, he'd be like, but like his eyes would stay totally the same. And I remember, like,
there's a little bit of Tom Cruise in him, definitely.
I mean, he's dabbled in Scientology as well.
That's a common factor there.
I like him. I think he seems
like a nice guy. I was right there with you. I want to like him again.
But now that he's done that, he's toast. Now
really think he's toast?
Yeah, he'll be back. No, it doesn't last. He'll be back. Holding someone else to this moral stat.
He had a freak out moment.
He had a bit of crazy talk.
He assaulted a man.
Yeah, so what?
I'm with you, Mark.
Shocking.
What was that?
I assaulted you.
Killian once punched me full force in the face.
Yeah.
In the National Arena.
Save that. Oh, right. Okay. Right.
Anyway, that's for a different podcast.
I was going to say for the Irish Times in a couple of years when Killian is selling out the National Arena.
Yeah. And let me tell you something about Killian Sunderman.
It's all redacted, by the way.
Well, look. Should we?
Okay. So yeah. Let me ask you guys. What did you actually think about it? We're dancing around it here. What did you think of this movie?
I thought it was very good.
Wow. Yes, guys. Fucking yes.
I thought it was great.
See how excited he gets?
Just from the way you were talking, I thought I was in for some bad news.
No, like when I said earlier, like, I feel like a PUT bit. When I said, like, Nick Cage kind of fucks it up, I don't mean, like, it's definitely not like a serious good. Like, I wouldn't say, like, this and, like, what's another film that's good? I don't know.
Schindler's List.
The Godfather?
It's just, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a weird Nick Cagey film, but it's good. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. At the start, it was definitely, I think we were both a bit like, whoa, it's kind of like eating a real spicy meal or something. Your mouth kind of has to adjust to the heat. Yeah.
Like, that's a great way of putting it.
That is actually a great analogy.
It's jarring and it's like, it takes a while for you to kind of settle into it. But when the credits roll, we both looked at each other and we're like, that was a good movie.
Fucking yes, lads. Come on.
So knows the things to make. Like, I think he gave us a little, like, kind of happy-ish ending that kind of, if you tie that off, it is quite satisfying when things
might go.
It's like Uncut Gems, if everything worked out at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would feel very good at the end of that movie.
My memory of the ending, and I was so pleasantly surprised. My memory of the ending was it ended with him in the car park jacking up the couple again and, like, him just, like, smoking crack and be like, ugh. And I was like, oh, that's the end of it. And then, like, I completely forgot about the little coda where he's in the hotel room.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy comes and they go to the aquarium. And I was like, I actually felt, like, much better. Like yeah. You're saying, like, it's not a happy ending, but, like,
no,
it's a peaceful ending. You know what I mean? Like,
quick question. Is this, like, a spoiler? Are we allowed? Is this a spoiler?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
We'll jump around all over the place. Don't,
okay,
you know?
Very good.
Yeah. It's what? 13 years old. So if you haven't seen it, you know.
Yeah.
Also, I'm gonna listen to this podcast about Bad Lieutenant. And then, oh no!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, guys.
Andy? What's your thoughts on it?
I liked it too. I was kind of bloody hell, I have one note of this whole thing, and I was just like, is he a genius? Is he a madman? Is he a mad genius? Is he shite? I don't know.
He's not shite, lads. Like,
you know, he has more to his craft than I would have given him credit for before we started this season. I would have thought, like, he just comes on, he's like, you know, he's
takes it
more
really
than
seriously.
That.
He takes it really seriously.
He just has a different method, you know what I mean? And like,
yeah, what we noticed was, like, we were like, okay, when's he going to get crazy? And like the opening scenes, almost, he's like already at like a high level, like he's already like a hardcore addict within the first 5 minutes, and he's shouting at like someone working in a pharmacy, and we were like, oh my god, how bad is this gonna get? An interesting thing where he doesn't get what Nick Cage usually does, is he usually gets like more animated, more louder, but in this he became more like a heroin kind of, like, he's slurring his words and he's crooked, and he's kind of like he's doing it in a more understated.
Although,
the bits where he smokes, him and Exhibit smoke crack in that.
Oh,
that's the best performance. Yeah. Like, that's the best bit.
That's incredible.
Like, that was like, I was sitting there watching it. I was like, is he after smoking something? Because this is one of the most. We were talking about when we did Adaptation and like Meryl Streep doing The Flower. I don't know. Have you guys seen Adaptation?
No.
Oh, brilliant movie, guys. Seriously. Like, there's a bit in it where Meryl Streep does drugs.
Okay.
And I was like, if it's Meryl Streep, because you know it's going to be good, but it was such a believable performance of somebody on drugs, where she's just brushing her teeth and looking in the mirror, and then all of a sudden she slows down, and it's like, it's as if she's feeling everything, like, and then she's on the phone with somebody trying to create a dial tone, and she's like, no, you need to hum this way so I can hum. And I was like, that's a very realistic performance of somebody on drugs. Mm-hmm. And seeing Nicolas Cage then, like, take the hit of crack, and, like, you're watching in real time how, it's what, a minute?
Yeah.
Just over a minute of him just amp
yeah.
up. And I was like, that's probably how you would feel if you've just taken like the time dilation of, like, it's not straight away you do it and it's like, it's like, it's him, it's creeping up on him slowly, and like him just cannot stop laughing maniacally. Yeah. Like,
it is good as well, like in movies sometimes you see people like taking drugs or like even just like getting shot or getting injuries and stuff, or like you see people like doing cocaine or drinking loads, and it doesn't really affect him that much.
Mm, yeah.
Whereas in this film, like when he smoked crack or did whatever stuff he was doing, it really affected him for like a long time.
Yeah.
Like what I like you say, that scene where he's in the pharmacy, like we watched Matchstick Men for the last episode. There's a scene in the pharmacy that doesn't come till the very end of the movie where he's like starts freaking out because he can't get his pills. And I was like, oh, this is Matchstick. This is the very, like, we've had an hour and a half of Matchstick Men to build up to this point. We're 5 minutes into the movie here, and he's like, all right. So quiet, everybody, on drink.
Ready to go.
Yeah. But even when you first see him after the doctor, whatever he's doing with his body, like, he's walking with his shoulders.
I was wondering if they had
a
prosthetic in there, because just because he was like that every scene, and he would have been doing that movie for, like,
how long?
I was wondering if it was prosthetic.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was just him though as well, like, you
know,
but, like
walking with it, he did such a good impression of someone who has like a bad back. He looked like, anytime he do drugs I'd be like, oh no, like, he's
don't do it.
It's like, that's a very good thing to be feeling. Like, you're like, wow, this is shit, he's gonna fuck things up now.
And you very rarely see him drinking it.
Blair Witch, you're like, oh fuck, sunset's coming. Like, yeah. It's like, oh no, he's doing more crack.
I have to say, I think my favorite scene of the whole movie was the, oh my God, I couldn't stop laughing when he's after the kid runs away and he's back at the old lady's phone and he's just he's behind the door, he just opens up, he's already shaving, he's like, where is he? Like, what is he shaving for? Like,
wait, I don't remember that.
You went and got
it was the best. And he takes out your one's breathing,
he's got one of those like razors and he's behind the door, the door opens and it's just Nick Cage and he's like all crumpled up because he's got a weird shoulder. And he's just shaving and he's like, where's the boy?
Yeah, like the door's already open. It's not like he comes into the room. He's already in the room and they don't know. And the door just closes and he's just
and
there.
And he's standing there.
And he's shaving with electric razor. He's like, where is he?
I said, where the fuck is he? He's on an aeroplane. Miss Antoinette bought him a ticket and sent him to live with her family in England.
It's okay. That's okay. That's a good girl. Suck it up. There you go. There you go. That's it. Take it in. That's a good girl. Take it in. Good. 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 That's it. Breathe. Maybe you should drop dead, you selfish cunt. You ever think about your kids? Or your grandkids? Huh? Sucking up their inheritance through that fucked oxygen tube? And Benny's fucked intensive care? You fucks, I hate you. I hate you both. I should fucking both. Just right now, I should fucking kill you fucking both! You're the fucking reason this country's going down the drain.
That image, the image of him like looking at like whatever 80-year-old woman in the face, saying, "I hate you."
Yeah, I know.
I really enjoyed that.
I couldn't stop laughing. It was that and also sorry, just every time he laughed when he was talking about that, you know, when he's briefing the other cops and he's like, just one of the guys is called G, and just every time he laughs, like, and his accomplice, G. You know, like he just thought that was so funny. Every time he laughed, it was so funny.
And no one's mentioned the alligator vision scene, the alligator POV, and then the kind of
lizard, the iguana.
Yeah.
There's no iguana. He's like, yeah, what's the fucking iguana there? Right there? Like,
yeah.
I didn't think it was well done. I think it was obviously like, in terms of what is it, trying to make someone appear like they're on drugs, or like representing drugs visually, I thought it was not.
It was like they switched to like a handheld camera, sort of like
fisheye lens.
It was like a flip phone, a Nokia flip phone.
Yeah,
like, it was
I was wondering what was going on there.
Like, what I liked about it was that it was like, you see how the rest of the film is shot. So you could have rigged it, I'm sure, to do it like the rest. But like, giving, like, at least you're taking that chance, or you're trying something.
Yeah,
you know
what I
mean? Like, here's a
goof for you. All right, Terry.
A gaff.
Yeah, no, a goof. I prefer to say. Yeah. Okay. That's what it says here. Only one of the IMDb iguanas. Yep. Featured was an iguana. The other lizard was a bearded dragon. The two species. They're not related. Well,
how
spotted.
Did you know that?
He might know his lizards.
You don't know him. You don't know him. He might know his lizards.
He might know. You don't know that he doesn't know that.
Oh, see, the thing is, Martin knows his lizards.
I'm a kind of a lizard guy.
are you guys in Mark's apartment?
What?
Are you guys in Mark's apartment?
He is actually a lizard.
I'm not a lizard guy.
Oh, okay.
I was hoping you might have a lizard there to show us.
Yeah. Sadly not. We're actually looking around the room.
There's one behind you.
Look out. Look out, Killian, behind you.
There's a cup with some fish on it.
Well, that's it anyway.
Andy, I'm very happy that you enjoyed this movie, even though it's not super plotty. We kind of figured out the alchemy for if Andy likes or hates a movie.
I generally hate it.
If
let's be honest,
if it has a plot that he can follow, as opposed to it's just kind of vibing
those,
of a movie.
Those fucking Charlie Kaufman movies.
I'm thinking of ending things.
Was
shittest film I've ever seen.
Thank you,
guys. What's wrong with you?
I was so angry. I was so.
I love it.
Angry.
I think it's great.
And because I had to watch it for the podcast, sort of saying I said it on the podcast before, it was like I was in jail. I'm just sitting here, like, just get this fucking movie over.
You know what? Andy, here's a little trick I figured out with that film. First time ever. Just because you're watching for the podcast, you can still turn it off.
You know what? No, he did that. He did that with Mike. He did that with Mike.
Also shy. But
here's a good. This is a nice little story.
Don't Mike encourage him, Mark. By the way,
roommates were at Christmas. They were watching Christmas with watching one of their family. They're at Christmas watching movies, and Rory and Morgan, they were deciding what movie to watch. Morgan pushes I'm Thinking of Ending Things. It's everyone fucking hates it.
You don't watch it like, with a family.
Shit, that fucking shit film on Christmas, for God's sake. And then Rory says, let's watch Face Off, and everyone fucking loves it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect 1-2 punch. That's a 1-2 punch right there. The
you're
ceiling.
Like, you're lifting him up. Yeah. Going,
who suggested watching I'm Thinking of Anything on Bloody Christmas?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's an insane call. What was the name of
them? I wouldn't even do that. And I love it. I wouldn't do that.
Morgan.
No, it was so like just one of those where I'm just like, what? Like that's why we were talking when we did the Wes Anderson series. The French Dispatch I found very similar. I thought it was visually great, but it was one of those ones again where I was like, I'm just looking at it like I'm like.
You didn't like that either, Terry, did you?
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it more second time. And when I went to see it in the cinema, okay. I was like, it's not very accessible. And I think when I watched it the second time, it hit me. There's a couple of moments in that movie that like hit me quite in the feels, as the kids say.
I just couldn't.
A lot of the stuff with Jeffrey Wright kind of like punched through my heart.
Okay.
What did you guys think of that? Did you see that one?
Yeah, we did. We didn't like it.
Oh, you did?
You did.
I pretend that I hate Wes Anderson films for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
He's good filmmaker, man.
6 weeks, Terry, to kind of give him a view, like give him a series to watch.
Yeah. I like
talk to him each week about it, maybe.
I just
drag him kicking and screaming. He could be your new Andy.
I like saying that I hate things that people often like.
Hey, kind of, me and you should do a podcast, Mark.
Why don't we do a pod swap?
Andy, what's your favorite film of all time? Just out of interest.
Ghostbusters.
Nice. I like it.
Quick answer. Like it. Ghostbusters.
I was hoping you would say Jurassic Park.
Very close. I mean, it would be in my top. I'd say it would be in my top five. Jurassic Park is my girlfriend's favorite movie.
Oh, right.
And we only watched it there recently.
We'll see if we can. I think we have our own pop. We're probably something a bit more artistic, right?
What do you got there, Killian?
Well, mine's actually just Lord of the Rings, but like,
the first one, though, right? The first one. Fellowship?
All three. I can't really rank them. Depends on extended editions and all that kind of stuff. So just like Lord of the Rings as a whole.
Terry?
Goodfellas. I'm basic. Goodfellas.
That's okay.
You can't go wrong. No one's going to say what.
Like, the reason why it's my favorite is it is inescapable. Like, I remember, I've told this story on the podcast before, but like a friend of mine, we were in my parents' house. It was 2 a.m, and like he was getting ready to. We'd been drinking and smoking weed, and he's getting ready to go. My parents were away, and I was flicking around. It was like TCM. 2:30 and Goodfellas had started at 2:20, and he'd gotten up and put his jacket on, and he stood there for 5 minutes watching the TV and then just unzipped his jacket, put it down, sat rolling the joint, and we stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning watching Goodfellas. And I was like, yeah, that's, you know, good.
You can never.
Scorsese would have wanted it.
Yeah. That's how he gets you. Like, anytime you'll watch this fucking 3-hour movie.
See a Marvel movie, do that.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I was a big fan to see my man X to the Z Exhibit featuring in
he
this
was one. Good in yes. this. He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah. One of the better actors.
Yeah. I'd say, a lot of the acting was bad in this, I thought. Like, some real bad acting in this, which was kind of funny, and I felt almost intentional sometimes. Some of the side characters.
Yeah.
Like, were just like, there was a policeman who he tries to get to cancel the parking.
Yeah, that guy.
Which is like a really bad actor. The mother at the funeral, who's like telling
him. Oh, yeah.
Also, like, jarringly bad. And then there's the guy, the rich kid or the kid who...
Oh, yeah.
Has trouble with the kids.
That's, I think that's funny. Intentional. I think, because he's a really good actor.
When I saw him, I was like, this must be kind of intentional or whatever.
Now, you said he seemed like a man who learned acting from only watching Nicolas Cage clips.
But, like, he's in fucking everything. He's brilliant. His name is Shay Whigham. And, like, Wigham, not Wiggum.
That's disappointing.
But like, he's in so much stuff and he's always fucking brilliant. And in I think it's so intentional of him being like, whoa, you know, like, it's like, I think it's intentionally, but he's supposed to be a fucking jerk off, like, but you're right about the cop, the fucking highway patrolman, like, is I thought
maybe all of them were. He did a real, like, he was like, hey, are you asking me to break the law? Is that what you're doing now? Asking me to break the law? And she was like, really hysterical. And then, but then Exhibit was really cool. And just,
I'm surprised he's not in more movies. Like, he's,
he went through, he was in a few movies around this time. Like, he was really going for it, I think, because like, he kind of had stopped doing it. But when he's smoking the crack pipe, I was like, there is a man who has smoked crack before. Like, there is a man who, like, his technique for smoking the pipe. Like,
I had thought that about Nick Cage, though.
Like, I thought that as well. I was like, there's two men sharing a crack pipe. We may have had a crack pipe before.
My lucky crack pipe.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor about Nick Cage that he took so much coke up his nose that he couldn't take it up his nose anymore, so he had to shove it up his butt.
I think that's
Well,
I believe it.
I mean, I believe it, but you know, he's the guy that bought the T-Rex skull that had to be. He bought a T-Rex skull. Oh yeah, that's interesting, Mark. He bought a T-Rex skull and had it in his house, but apparently it was like acquired. The person he bought it from had acquired it illegally. So whatever amount of money he spent on it was like he had to return it to one of the museums. So that was around the time where it's around this time, I guess. That you'll see in from 2010 onwards, it's DTV movies, like, you know, it's Left Behind or Deadfall or what movies you've never heard of.
Gone down that Bruce Willis route?
Like, but like, the Bruce Willis thing seems a bit more sinister because
Willis was definitely
like, it almost like seems like elder abuse now after the stuff that's coming out about Bruce Willis.
I think it's quite bad what happened. I think,
what are you talking about,
Bruce Willis? Had obviously he's retired last year or even this year he made several, he made something like 6 or 7 films in the last year, and a lot of people are saying it was kind of like squeezing him for money while he's still able to communicate, and also like how much like what was his kind of comprehension of the whole situation, and like, you know, that
apparently
kind of
there was like an earpiece feeding him lines, and like, like people,
oh
like,
god, that's dark.
Yeah, it's like, whereas the Nick Cage thing is like, he has very little concept of money, owes a huge amount in taxes, that's why he's doing like his filmography is over for like for a A-list star in his like somebody who's made over 100 movies is crazy. I know he's been going since the 80s or whatever, but like if you look
actors don't make that many movies these days, like in like to even reach 100 is fucking crazy.
Like Timothy Chalamet, he's not gonna be in 100 films.
No.
Like, I'm gonna take give me an actor here. Right, give me an A-list actor.
James Bond. No, he's not.
An A-list actor. Colin Farrell.
Okay.
Well, Farrell might have done a few now.
Colin Meaney.
Oh, Colin Meaney. I was unsure. Sorry.
A-list.
He probably would. 64 credits for...
Clooney.
I'd say Clooney's is less.
I'm going to say 41 movies. Let's just do this.
Here we go.
Let's do this.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're guessing 41 for Clooney. 41. I'm guessing 55.
Okay.
Okay, so what are we saying? 41 for Andy.
I'm gonna say 68.
And Killian?
I said 55. Staying alive.
80 credits.
Jesus Christ! That's actually way more.
He's just popping TV up in the background of films.
He did TV. Don't forget, guys.
Yeah, but that's TV. That's episodes of ER. That's probably half of them.
No, but that's one credit. When you're working for ER, it's one credit.
Okay.
But like, if you did it from when he became, you know, let's say from Dusk Till Dawn. 1, 2, 3.
Good movie.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You do the inhale.
You're talking like 30.
Oh, 30. Here, hit me with Bill Murray.
Be far too many.
Over 100, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been gone since his 60s, right?
70s. 120, I'm going to say, if you're looking it up, Terry.
I'd say he's 100 and... Oh, fuck, I want to say 130. I wouldn't be 120, I think that's right.
97.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That really shows how much work Nick is doing. He's doing a lot of work.
Like, and the, but he doesn't, he's never done TV, you know what I mean? Like, Nick Cage has
never done TV.
He's always been a film actor, and like,
yeah, well, that's really amazing. Just off pure raw talent, he got into the film industry.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Nothing to do with who he's related to.
You take that back.
It's a talent to be born into one of the most famous movie families, you know. That's a talent.
I only just realized
he had to change his
Nick Cage is. Coppola.
Yeah, he's
Coppola.
Yeah, he's a Coppola.
Yeah, he's his nephew. His real name is Nick Kim Coppola, and that's what he started acting under. And then he changed his name to Nick Cage to get away from being a Coppola. And he was on set. He was on set for a film for Francis Ford Coppola, and somebody rang up and said, "I need you to release Nick Cage. I want to do a movie with him." And Coppola was like, "I have no idea who that is," and hung up the phone. Huh. And then he was like, "Uncle Francis, that was me.
Frankie.
That's my name, Uncle Francis."
Yeah, he's a Coppola.
Schwartzman is a Coppola. Jason Schwartzman is a Coppola.
They're all nepotism.
He's a Lone Ranger.
But he's, I mean, he's good. I'm glad the world gave us that.
Oh,
he's on deck.
Wagon wheel there.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, he was blocking that out. I don't know, like, if we want to go through any scenes or, like, a bit of plot, there's very little plot. It's, you know, eventually he ends up owing people money, you know, like, we haven't even talked about Eva Mendes in it yet, like.
Yeah, that's ridiculous that she's in it. And it's that's also a mental thing, is that how attractive he is to other people is this kind of sleazy, like, out of shape, crooked.
Like that scene where.
And all the women are, like, so madly attractive to him. It's mental. Yeah.
The car park scene, the first one, where
that's
awful. Like
that's
your one just gets so into it so quickly, and he's like, your mother or whatever, and then like the guy tries to run off, and he's like shooting the gun in the air.
That was the scene.
Your
like,
watch.
The opening scene was where I was like, ooh.
That's where we thought we would not like.
This one's gonna be bad. But it's funny because like I guess they were trying to go for, you know, like The Sopranos. All the women love Tony. Tony's like kind of like a big fat pig.
Fat mess.
Yeah.
Like.
But he does have some kind of like.
No, Tony's
he has an aura,
Tony has
powerful.
He's got a sexy allure to him.
Whereas
like Nick Cage in this is just like a complete slurring mess.
And yeah,
he's devolving before your eyes as this film goes on.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he's like, when he's working in the evidence room, like his whole posture and like the way he's talking, it's like it's like he's had a stroke sometimes in this film.
And so now Eva Mendes can't keep her hands off.
Like, yeah.
Whatever about Eva Mendes, because at least maybe there's some, like, you know, it's nuts that that's like that. But maybe you could like some weird power thing. But that female cop who's like trying to seduce him.
I wanted to talk about this.
In a coma. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah.
But
she's like, I need him. I need him. Like, what's going on?
The two biggest pieces of bad news. Like, do you remember her from, like, she was in The Waterboy. The Craft. She's always somebody that's like, But it's like, you're always like, back in the 90s, you put these two together. It's like, you know, they're going to be bad news, put them together. And in this, I was like, we're finally going to, you know, see something. There's like, he's just asleep. He snorts coke and he's just asleep.
I felt, I will say about this, and I don't have too many more, I don't have too many more points. I don't have any points to make, but...
same as it ever was.
Yeah, exactly. But I felt they could have chopped out about maybe 20 minutes of this movie. Didn't need to be 2 hours.
Do you think so?
I thought that scene even with the
female police officer.
Yeah, like that was kind of nothing, and
actually
they could have tightened up at the end a little bit. Like I don't know.
We haven't even talked about the mobsters showing up. This guy who is like, when I was watching, I was like, is this Herzog like doing a absolute takedown of mafia movies? Because it seems like it's in a bubble. This scene is in a bubble. This guy in his, you know, velour shirt, who's like, from my mind, completely non-threatening.
Yeah.
I liked it. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, is this like a complete skewer of like, this is what mobsters are supposed, this is what they're actually like.
I liked it, but I felt like if the movie didn't have it, it wouldn't have changed the movie at all. You know what I mean? That whole angle.
There had to be some sort of threat.
Were you confused at any point? I mean, Mark was a little confused. I was also confused because I was like, where did those guys come from? Because
read the writing out there, Mark.
There's this
I was confused for a lot of film. I find it quite hard to follow films. Full stop.
this is great. This is I feel seen now. Fine. I knew it wasn't just me.
They need to stop making them.
Yeah, they do. There's too many. That's the thing, like
they should make one movie a year and it should just be called The Movie.
Yeah.
What's the movie gonna be this year?
Because Terry will be talking about movies and he'd be like, I think it's got to be in one of the top 10 movies I've seen one of the top 10 movies of last year. I'm like, I think I've seen two movies in the last 3 years that weren't for the pod. Like, I just don't see them.
I find films that are over an hour and 40 minutes, I'm like, here we go.
Hour 40 is a sweet spot.
But yeah. I thought it was okay.
Two hours, I didn't think this movie dragged. I didn't think it dragged. There's no point where I was
you've never seen me, I always want them to be shorter. I think that the shorter is better. And like,
agreed.
They definitely could have squeezed a bit out of this, definitely. Yeah.
Although
it did have kind of a, like, it's funny that you said Uncut Gems. Like, I'm not being like ironic, but like I did think it did have a kind of a Safdie Brothers esque.
Yeah, there was
just vibe. The kind of constant. Whoa, we're still going. Everything's getting worse.
You could imagine them watching this when they were younger and being like, "Oh, that's fucking cool!" Like, and it does have that kind of. It's not as manic, you know, because it is sedate. At times, long stretches of it where it's like he's just blissed out.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, it's not like Good Time or something where it's it's like so propulsive and you feel almost like you're after getting a contact high from watching this movie, like, you know. Whereas this one, it definitely has that vibe, but it's as if they're like, if this is at an 8, they've cranked it to an 11. You know,
have you seen the film Heat?
De Niro and Pacino.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I haven't actually seen it.
I actually think like when Al Pacino's really going for it, him and Nick Cage do like a similar kind of thing. Really? Yeah. Well, you know that
bit where I get it.
She's got a big ass. Your head is right up
it. Show me what you got. Yeah. Show me what you got.
Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe just because Pacino is such an icon or whatever, you already know what, like, he's got, but like it, you do impressions of Pacino.
I think maybe just what I'm trying to say, it makes me feel the same way when I think, when I watch like scenes of Al Pacino going like full nuts, like the scene I just did, I always think like, God, it must be so weird on set or being an actor, like receiving that.
Because
like everyone else is at a 7 and this one guy is at a 15.
His like scene partner.
Yeah.
And he's like going, it must be so weird.
There's the clip from Face Off. There's the clip from Face Off where John Travolta shows up. You know, he's supposed to be like Troy. So he's supposed to be in the coma. And he shows up to Nick Cage in jail. And they're having like, he's spinning around. Basically, he's waltzing around being like, I'm in your body.
See anything you like.
See anything you like. But like, the behind the scenes footage of it, and like Nick Cage like grabbing him by the throat and he's like, die. And then they're like, and cut. And like Travolta does this little like skip. He's like, woohoo. And like Nick Cage's like, well, it wasn't too hard. Wasn't, you know, and he's like, no, it was perfect. It was perfect. And I was like, that's so interesting.
Does things that like are not. They're not things that I've ever seen another human being do.
Yes.
It's not like acting, like if you're looking at it in a certain way, like how it originated.
He's not naturalistic.
Pacino, when he gets mad, like I have seen people shout like that before.
Yeah.
But the way Nick Cage does this thing, I kind of feel like he does it in a way that's not like a normal
person.
That's, I've never seen someone do the things he does. Like they don't react like that. They're kind of weird in that way. There could be a person who exists in that way. That's why it's fine and it works.
So it's like he's like low and then goes straight out.
I don't think. Yeah.
So he actually has his own acting technique. Is, you know, he self-described acting technique. Do you want to know what it's called?
Please.
Get ready. Nouveau shamanism.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Kind of makes
That's
sense.
That's how he described it. Do you think so? Yeah,
yeah, I kind of
I don't think
that.
It makes any sense.
In his head, though, I can see how, I can see that what he's channeling there.
His you direct quote was, I thought it sounded cool.
Is he a married man?
He's been married a few times. I think he has a baby on the way, if I read
on the way. That.
Yeah, he's like 57, 58. And he has a baby on the way. He was married to Patricia Arquette. When we did Bringing Out the Dead, they were in the movie together, and they were so not great. Honestly, I thought it was going to be much better. Grim. Scorsese. It's grim, yeah.
I could have done without watching that. Forever.
We should have done National Treasure instead of Bringing Out the Dead.
I'd love to do National Treasure.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
God, that would have been a movie. I'd have put the popcorn on for that one. Like,
that's a popcorn movie.
This grim New York underbelly, like, sort of like, oh, just fucking spare me.
I don't think I have anything else really. If you want to, we put a bow on it. I love the ending. I love the little laugh at the end where it's just the two of them in the aquarium, and it's like, you know, the fact that he's like, oh, I sometimes have bad days.
Yeah.
You're like,
kind of a nice. Like,
yeah, like it's kind of, you were with this guy who, you know, he's a piece of shit. We're rooting for him. But like,
yeah.
Like the subplot of him.
Bad lieutenant.
He is.
In the movie.
Yeah. That's the name of the movie.
You're a real bad lieutenant.
He does say Port of Call, New Orleans, innit?
I noticed that right at the end. I was thinking halfway through. Terrible name for a film. Port of Call.
And he won you around with it. Well, you just snuck it in there. But like, you know, he doesn't have any redeeming features really, and yet. At the end, I was like, when he said that, like, oh, I sometimes have bad days, I was like, yeah, I guess he does.
Yeah.
And I hope he's okay.
I think he, like, maybe sometimes has good days. It seems like they're bad.
I haven't seen them. I haven't seen these good days.
Yeah. I've only seen all four of
them. I'd say standard for good days is quite low.
Yes. Well, then, look, what would you guys rate it out of 10?
I give it a 7.5.
It's kind of hard, like, it's like a different scale, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Am I rating this in the same scale that I'd rate, I don't know, something else?
Shawshank Redemption.
Never seen it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Wow.
I'm thinking of a movie that you could compare the rating for. I think we've got a very...
7.5, please, thanks.
There you go. Okay.
Lock it in there, Andy.
7.5, registered.
What are you going to say, Andy?
I'd give it a 7.
Okay.
It's a fairly, I liked it, but you know, I'll never ever watch it again.
B3, it's a B3, man.
Yeah, never watch it again.
Like, I liked it, and I'm glad
I'm
watched
it.
Giving
it an 8.
Okay. 8?
Scathing by your standards, Terry.
That's a B1.
I mean, pretty much all the only movies that I haven't given above a 7.5 were Bringing Out the Dead, maybe. Yeah. Like, that was the lowest one for me.
Scorsese, as well.
Yeah, that was the lowest one. That was like a 6, I think.
You sort of curate the list, so.
Yeah, but I also picked ones that I hadn't seen. Like, I hadn't seen Bringing Out the Dead. I hadn't seen like Face Off in a long time. I hadn't seen Raising Arizona in a long time. So it was like watching one Raising Arizona. Andy hated it. I fucking loved it. Like.
Is that a comedy film?
It's a comedy.
Apparently, yeah.
It is a comedy. It's fucking great, man.
I didn't know when to laugh, I'll tell you that much. I was like looking around. You know, like there's no one else in the room. It's like,
you have to stop setting them up, Mark.
Jack.
You have to stop setting them up with these lines.
It was, okay, so the list so far would be, I'd say, top would be Face Off. Second would be Adaptation. Third would be, what have we even done? The Rock? No.
No, you didn't have
Snake Eyes.
We did Snake Eyes.
Oh, Snake
I love
Eyes.
Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes is cool.
Snake Eyes
fucking
was
class, man. Snake Eyes is deadly.
Yeah.
Con Air?
No, see, we did Con Air before, but I mean, that'd be right up there. That'd be right.
If we hadn't done it, it would have been on the list. Like,
yeah. But bottom of the list, more importantly, would be Bringing Out the Dead and Raising Arizona.
Okay.
Bottom two.
My top is Adaptation. Then it's Raising Arizona. Then Snake Eyes. Face Off, then I think they're all kind of then Matchstick Men.
This is the middle man. This is the middle.
Yeah.
Interesting. I must watch some of those other ones because I like it.
And The Rock as well.
I doubt this is going to be This more than this was a Nick Cage film, I think this was a Werner Herzog film, I'll say. I think his influence on, like, it's definitely the two of them together, but I haven't seen a film like that really before, and I don't think his other films.
I will again.
Stylistically was mental. It was stylistically mental.
Like, just have a favorite.
I told actors to act badly on purpose, which is just so jarring.
Do you think, actually, now that, like, you know the way Twin Peaks is good, but it's also, like, kind of shit?
Yeah, it's so melodramatic. Like,
Melodramatic, and sometimes the acting's, like, shit on purpose. It was kind of had a Twin Peaks-y vibe to it. Yeah. Even, like, the lizard stuff, like, that was kind of like Twin Peaks.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely,
We forgot to do our Ed Harris Award for Excellence in Acting. So we came up with this award because we both love The Rock, because Ed Harris,
the wrestler, and the movie. Terry loves The Rock, the wrestler. Really,
not really. You know what? I love him as a wrestler. I hate Dwayne Johnson, the presidential candidate.
There's a fun fact.
Yeah. So how can it be bad, Terry?
Not fun for me. Let me tell you,
Hollywood is fun.
But we were absolutely gushing over Ed Harris's performance in The Rock. Like, I think it's one of the best villain, quote unquote, performances of all time. And then we were kind of saying, when we did Snake Eyes the next week, we're like, who's the Ed Harris in Snake Eyes? Turns out it's Gary Sinise. And then we decided we'd come up with the Ed Harris Award every week to see who's the Ed Harris.
Basically, who was the best actor in this movie?
Yeah.
It was Exhibit, but honorary mention to Jennifer Coolidge, who was actually great in her comfort zone.
Yeah,
As like a, you know, she's usually a really glam, pink kind of
Stifler's mom. Maybe, like,
she was like the beer drinking stepmom. Yeah. I thought she was she was quite good. But Exhibit, I thought he was great.
Yeah, Exhibit. I'd say Exhibit too, actually. Yeah,
I'm sticking with Nick Cage.
Of course,
to me.
Okay,
gotta be like.
All right,
he's brilliant.
Well, look. On that note, should we get our plugs in and get the hell out of here? Lads, is there anything you guys would like to plug?
Just our podcast, which you can find on all streaming platforms, called MK Ultra Film Podcast, or just MK Ultra Film.
At MK Ultra Film
on Instagram.
At MK Ultra Film, MKULTRAFILM. INSTHERAM.
All one word.
If anyone's going through Dublin Airport, there's now a photo of me on the wall in Terminal 1.
Wanted, like.
Just wait and see. And then.
Do not fly. Do not let on the plane.
Have you seen this man?
Yes. This is the passport control desk on the other side. You can't see it, but. Control officers can't.
Very familiar.
And I think that's Killian's famous.
Killian, are you going to plug anything? You got fucking a bunch coming
Killer
up.
Sunday on all platforms.
All actually, the socials.
Killer Sunday Man. And you can, there's, I haven't been doing much content recently, so. But there's always good. What I like to do on a Sunday is go back through the old videos.
Yeah,
that's what I like to
do. And you're doing a few festivals. You're doing EP. Am I right in saying this?
Oh fuck yeah! Sorry, yeah. Electric Picnic. No, you know what? I have to plug.
You don't have your ticket now for Electric Picnic. No, fuck anyway.
This is proper plug town. I'm doing a fringe show with Michael Fry on the 12th, 13th, and 14th of September.
This will be out before then.
Brand new hour of comedy, sketches, music, stand up, all of them wrapped into one fun night. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So get your tickets.
Brilliant. And where's that on? Is it Smock Alley or where is it?
Smock Alley, the big one.
Nice. Ooh, you got the big stage.
You got the big stage for three nights. So
brilliant.
Congrats.
I'm terrified, but it's going to be great.
Brilliant. Well, look.
Do you want to get our plugs in, Andy?
Yeah,
unless you
guess,
guys have anything else.
What's so great about Pod on Instagram and Twitter?
I'm going to ask you to bring the energy level up just a little bit.
WSGA Pod on Twitter. And you can find links there to everything we do, including latest episodes, video podcasts, Patreon freebies, and the Patreon itself.
Oh, the Patreon. Thank you very much for telling them about that. Over behind the paywall, we got two tiers. We got the pay what you want tier. It's literally $1 or €1 is the minimum. Look, I'm gonna say we're
I
gonna
hate
get...
you if you sign up for that tier.
That's our hungry so heart regret tier. Yeah, this was Andy's baby. This is his brainchild.
I was like, look, if we just let them pay what they want, then like I'd rather they hear the content. I don't care about the money. And then anyone who signs up, I'm like, you fucking pricks, you cheap bastards. But anyway,
we're not going to cut that out. We're going to double it. So if you get four episodes a month, you get access to all our old What's So Great About series, What's So Great About MCU, What's So Great About 90s Action Movie, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, and What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Films. You also get access to our bonus episodes. We do a bunch of top fives. We've done top five needle drops, top five album openers. We've done Pitch It in H, where we pitch each other movie ideas. One of us plays exec and one of us plays, you know, the guy trying to sell a script. And we've done stuff like What's Our Perfect Day, like a Dream Festival, a bunch of good stuff there. A
lot of podcasts, basically.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts. We do a lot of podcasts. It's exhausting. But there's another tier. There's a $5 tier, shot tier. You get everything we included there, plus you get all our video content once you guys sign on the release there. Don't worry about it, it's fine. And you also get a bonus Q&A as well per month, and you also get the Put It in H is back behind the paywall as well. So there's fucking loads there, guys. Just
what he's trying to say is there's a lot there, and if you want to spend £1 a month and you're happy with that, then fine.
We'd rather you spend the £5.
Also, if you want to spend £1 a month, Andy will hate you.
But
you want to see.
I'd rather
his face.
You don't sign up at all.
Honestly, the messages he sends me when we get a $5 backer, well, Jesus, his little face, folks.
Yeah. Just want to add in MK Ultra Films, totally free, guys.
It's 100% free.
This is free.
Any episodes.
Well,
it's totally free.
We won't begrudge you.
Yeah. Now, as the lads are talking about free stuff, this is a free podcast. If you can't afford €1 a month, or
you got problems,
€5 a month, or $5 or €4.50, or we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
Got there in the end, but God, that was a long walk.
This is very long.
I know. I'm going to wrap it up. All right, you can do me a favor. You can give me a rating or a review. Give me 5 stars. I've lost my complete train of thought.
No bit.
Okay. Nicolas Cage smoked crack 5 times in this movie. I want a 5-star review. I don't know. Oh, he right, does. Okay. Yeah.
Let's just get this done.
This bites. Andy, do you have any plugs for yourself? What's your video content?
Andy Canwell on social media, or Andy Can Vids on Instagram. I had to think of a name quick.
Some of my favorite videos that I've seen over the last couple of have been Andy's videos. They are so good.
Thank you so much.
You can find me, if you're not on the listening on the podcast, I'm doing a bit on 8 Radio every Sunday from 1 to 2. I'll be doing the Indies Greatest Hits Hour. Tune in there, Radio guys. It's great alternative music for Ireland.
They're listening. Yes, 8 Radio really are the number one. It's like, please.
It's actually nice to hear a radio station that's not playing the same songs over and over again.
Although we do
play Over and Over by Hot Chip quite a bit.
Hey, nice.
Otherwise, we can say, Andy, what do you got to say to the folks at home?
I love you.
And you get the big L from me behind the paywall. You got to pay for it. Yeah,
thank you very much, lads.
Thank you, guys.
This is an absolute blast.
Yeah, I was about to hang up. Do we hang up or?
The doctor gave my mother a few more days. Oh, not what I wanna hear. But she'll be gone, yes, gone. And I guess she'll be going home. Thank you. She's been with me for all my years. Now all I will have is my tears. She is my mom and my friend too. Just don't know what I will do. Just tie my bed.